Well, good morning. It's good to see you all here. I know Brother Josh would rather be standing here before you, and I would rather for him to be standing here before you as well. I got that call last night, like Urban Meyer called me out of retirement to preach today. And so you have to bear with me a little bit. I'm used to only having a church that only has two aisles or two rows of pews down here and about 110 people. So it's a little intimidating for me, but I love you all. And I know that through the years we have interacted, and so I feel comfortable this morning. And I always like to use a little humor, but if we think about, you know, Brother Josh wanted to be here this morning, and I said we need to be cautious. And so, out of abundance of caution, he relinquished to allow me to stand in here this morning. And I always like a little bit of humor, because I remember a lady who said, I'd like to meet that person who said that time heals. When she was sitting in a doctor's waiting room an extraordinary amount of time, she didn't feel much better. But anyway, and I've always wondered, and I drive Melissa crazy with these kind of things, with how we use words today. You know, we drive on parkways and park on driveways. Now, explain that one to me. And if you go to the airport, it says we go to the airport terminal. Well, I don't want to be terminal, but I know we use this different definitions of that. But I just wanted to kind of break the ice a little bit with a little bit of humor before we got into this message. And so I want to talk about the sacredness of human life out of Psalm 8. If you would all turn to Psalm 8 if you have your word with you this morning. And I know we'll hopefully have it up on the screen. These wonderful technicians up there of the computers have tried to put a little bit of outline in there and maybe the scripture up there. But is life valued by everyone? Do you value everyone? If you look to your left or your right or behind or in front of you, do you value that person right around you this morning? Do you value the people you run into contact with in everyday life, where you work, where you play, where you go to grocery shop, where you do all things? Do you value life? I think as I watched some of the antics of some drivers today, I don't think they value life very much with some of the stunts they pull at times. And hopefully you're not one of those. But anyway, we have so much focus on ourselves sometimes we forget to value other people and to take the precautions we need and to show our love for others as God would want us to. And over the years, life has lost its significance and value because of loss of understanding the handiwork of God in each life. We hear about the store clerk. And matter of fact, I think we just had one recently where someone went into a grocery store or a convenience store, and unfortunately the attendant was killed. And usually sometimes for a small amount of money, crime of violence, murder, rape, and robbery are increasing. I know we have reports of maybe some of those decreasing. We thank the Lord for that. But child abuse and spouse abuse, as well as elderly abuse, assisted suicide are on the increase. Sanctity of life, of human life, is eroding all around us. And if you would take your passage here in your Psalm 8, we want to read all 9 verses of this chapter. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I looked at your heavens and the work of your finger and the moon of the stars and the have set in place, what is man that you have mindful of him, that the Son of Man, that you care for him, that you have made him a little lower than the heavens, heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor? You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and all the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the path of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your precious word that you give to us, and your love for us, and your care for us. I pray, Lord, that you will bless this time as we look into your word, and that you'll use me as your servant today. And Lord, we praise you for what you're going to do in our midst. And fill us with your spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So human life is sacred because it is special. You are special to God. You are cared for by God. You are loved by God. And what is man, it says? Man is mortal man in verses 3 and 4. That means all humanity. And the Son of Man means the son of the earth. Man and woman were made from the dust of the earth in Genesis 2:7. And it goes right along with this psalm. And as we read those passages, or at least I'll read them to you. And then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils a breath of life. And man became a living creature. You know, that is something that we are formed. Adam and Eve were formed by God out of the dust of the ground. And he breathed into us. You know, as little babies are born, they look for that first breath, don't they? And they bring that little child out, and they do what they need to do to get that child to take its first breath. Well, God gives us breath of life. He forms us in the womb. He created us for his pleasure and his fellowship. And so we need to understand that God formed us and he created us. And humans have distinct features. Humans are made in God's own image in Genesis 1:26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and over the sea and over the bird of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We are created in God's image. And what a blessing to know that God created us and he breathed that breath of life into us. And we are like him in image. He made us in his image. And so we are created by God. And we are, whereas creatures were created by command. And so we are different. We are not like a human from an animal, as some would suggest. I remember reading a little humor thing one time about, you know, showing this ape sitting there and says, "How could humans claim that you come from us? We don't smoke cigarettes or shoot guns at each other. We don't do all those bad things that you all do. Why would you want to claim that you came from us?" And so it makes a lot of sense that, you know, we do a lot of stuff and, you know, a lot of things happen in life that degrade the importance of human life. And so humans were given breath by God that makes us spiritual and physical beings as well. And so we are truly blessed in that we are created by God for God, that he would walk with us and minister with us and help us to minister to others along life's work. Now, there was somebody who said that the body is the masterpiece of exquisite design, beautifully engineered. It is governed by several hundred systems of control, each interacting with and affecting the other. A person's brain has 10 billion nerve cells to record what is seen and heard. A person's skin has billions of nerve cells to record what more than 10 billion nerve cells, the skin has more than 2 million tiny sweat glands, about 3,000 per square inch, all part of the mint interact in, with the system which keeps the body at an even temperature. And right now, mine are working pretty well. A pump in our chest, which we call our heart. Now, this is kind of hard to believe, but blood travels 168 million miles a day. I'm, you know, equivalent to 6,720 times around the world. The linings process the stomach. The linings in our stomach contain 35 million glands secreting juices which aid in the process of digestion. And there are but a few of the involved processes of the chemical wonders which operate to sustain his life. A young student had been impressed by what the fact of that most, as he, all this process and that he was looking at. And he said, you know, when you produce something, usually there or make something, there's usually some bugs or some things to straighten out and to iron out before it'll function properly. But he stood there gazing at a chart showing all the organs and nerves and arteries and glands in the human body, and he suddenly exclaimed, just think, the first time God put it together, it worked. Well, if you think about our body system, you know, it's really intricate. And it's a marvelous creation of God. And I don't think that we can just happen to exist. Do you? As we look at all the evidence, God has truly blessed and has created us in His image. And so I wanted to secondly mention human life is sacred because it is a singular created work of God. In verse 5, he said, yet you have made him a little lower than the heavens beings and crowned him with glory and honor. He has crowned us with glory and honor. Humans are made in God's image, and as we read in Genesis 1:27, compared with the rest of the created order, humans are on the higher plane and given attributes such as glory and honor, yet less than infinite God. Secondly, every human being is unique work of God. Each life is important to God. And so I want to bring up the story of Esther here. Some of you maybe sat through, I did a little study through Esther over a year ago. Matter of fact, Brother Josh, I think, is his anniversary coming up here next Sunday. He'll be here, I think, a year with us. And we ought to celebrate that. And hopefully he can be here. But isn't it something our pastor has been called, and he has been such a blessing to us, and he has come in under all this COVID-19 problem and virus all around us, and his own family has been affected with it. And yet he's given us leadership and encouragement and direction, and we need to celebrate his first year here with us. Because it's been a strenuous year, and it's been a difficult year for him. And your first year as a pastor is supposed to be a celebration time where the church just brings all kinds of folks in to meet the new pastor. I asked him the other week, when do you become the old pastor? But anyway, we never know how you transition. You become just the pastor, okay, of the church. And so I wanted to speak a little bit about Esther. In that study, if you know the situation, the king had this, he was married to this lady, and she kind of rebelled, and he decided he needed a new wife. And so they rounded up all these beautiful-looking ladies in the country, and it was in Susa, which is a territory from India all the way over into South Africa area, and at that time. And along with all the ladies that were chosen was Esther. She was a little young Jewish girl. And God had a call upon her life like he does on every one of our lives. And she went into all this and didn't divulge all her background and her ethnicity, and she ended up being selected by chance. I think it was God's direction, because as the story you know, she became queen, and Haman was an evil guy who plotted against the Jews. He hated the Jews, and so he had snuck an edict under the king's nose, and he signed it, and it was to annihilate all the Jews. Well, Haman had this evil plan all fixed up, and as you know, Mordecai was Esther's uncle that raised her. He went to her and said, you need to stand up for your people, or you might be even caught up in all of this, and you might even lose your own life. And she went to prayer and asked God to guide and direct her, and she dressed herself all up and went before the king, which was laying her life on the line, because if you presented yourself before the king without being invited, he could have you executed right there on the spot. But she went in, and he looked at her standing there, and he raised his scepter as to accept her in, and she started the process in place. At the end of the story was Haman was revealed his evil plot. Things were put in place to protect the Jews, and everything worked out except for Haman lost his life over that. But here was the situation that Esther had to make a decision. Was she going to live for God? Was she going to surrender her life for God? Was she going to value her people enough or put her life on chance that she might get found out and also get swept away in all this problem? She had to make a decision to surrender her life to God's will in her life. And Mordecai had told her, maybe, you know, God has called you to this position, to this place at this time, to fulfill His plan. Well, God has got a call on every one of our lives. And we'll speak about that a little bit in a few minutes. But He has a call for us. And we need to understand that we need to surrender our life to the Lord and live according to His plans and to His ways and what He has given to us and blessed us with, and to respect one another and hold each other up as God's blessing or as God's people who He loves, who He cares for every person on the face of this earth. We need to be those people who express that love and stand in the gap and answer the call to be His people, to minister to people along life's walk. Well, there was another calling upon Jeremiah's life, was a prophet and before the Lord. And it said about Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Isn't that something? That even before he was even in the womb, God knew him. He knew he was going to be conceived in the womb. And He had a call upon his life, and He consecrated him and appointed him a prophet. And I think that God knows everything about us, and He knew about when we were going to be in our mother's womb and the call upon our lives. And so, no one else can do what God has given our assignment to do. Each person has a strategic place in God's work. What is going to be the effect of over many millions of aborted babies, of suicides, of murders in our nation? You know, that illustration we saw or heard this morning about the pennies being dropped in the thing. I had a chart that it's really old now, but it's just astounding. It had a cross on each one for the Civil War, Revolutionary War, and World War, just like this video did. Then when it got down, that only filled up about a third of the top of the page. And when it got down to the abortions, Each cross represented, I think, 50,000. The whole sheet was filled up with crosses. The same type of illustration. But I didn't have an updated one. It probably would take a big long sheet of paper by now, because that illustration was at least 20 or 25 years old. But, there was a man named Everett Koop. You remember his name? He was one of our can't think of the title. He was a surgeon general years ago. Now, this is what he said about life in the womb. Protecting of life of a mother was an excuse for an abortion. It's a smoke screen, he said. In my 36 years of practice in surgery, I have never known of one instance where the child had to be aborted to save the mother's life. If toward the end of the pregnancy complications arose or threatened the mother's health, the doctor would either induce labor or perform a cesarean section. His intention is to save the life of both the mother and the baby. The baby's life is never willfully destroyed because the mother's life is in danger. And that's what he wrote some years ago. And, we always have that exclusion clause in, abortion will not be performed unless it's a threat to the mother's life. Well, as he exclaimed here, it is really never, in most cases, a threat to the mother's life. That is, like he called it, a smokescreen. Well, in my years of serving as chaplain at Second Heart Hospital, I had opportunities to go to the women's area and the birthing area when called upon. And I had some experiences with it, and I've heard some stories and situations. And so I know that there were women who would be put on bed rest for 2-3 months sometimes, in order to protect that baby, to bring it to the time of a viability, and maybe even beyond that time, which is about 20 to 22 weeks. And before they would try to take the baby and support it and help it survive and help the mother, whatever the situation might be. Sacred Heart had always had a Catholic hospital, they always had a belief in the value of a woman's life and the baby's life. And so these ladies would take time. Sometimes they would get them together once a week to have fellowships, because they were kind of isolated off in their rooms. And so they would try to keep them encouraged, and sometimes they would bring different things for them to do and encourage them, or knitting or whatever. They would try to supply the materials for them. But there was a woman that was brought in one day, and I'd like to mention this for a couple of reasons. But here is a situation where this woman had taken some drugs that she didn't know what they were, and it had stopped her heart. And before the paramedics could get there and revive her, she had an extended period of time with no heartbeat. Well, they were able to revive her, but the doctors didn't know the extent of what might be the outcome. And she was about maybe 5-6 weeks pregnant. 6 months pregnant. And so here was the dilemma when they finally realized that she had an extensive brain injury because of lack of oxygen to her brain. What were they going to do? Was this lady going to survive with this child? What were we going to do with the child? We can't just let her go because she's got a living child. And what is the child going to be like? Did it experience some type of injury because of lack of blood supply? All those questions. But yet they erred on the side of caution. They gave her life support. They fed her. They took care of her intensive care for a couple of months. And I would go in and check on her, and She would not respond. Of course, a lot of times they had her under a coma for a little while, and then eventually to realize she could breathe on her own, and she was able to, to breathe on her own, and they were probably feeding her through a feeding tube and doing those kind of things to help her along. So one day when they felt like it was safe to take the baby, they took her a baby by cesarean section. The baby turned out to be just fine. Unfortunately, the mother, of course, had the brain injury. So what now? But over those couple of months, they were able to establish where this patient's mother lived up in the Carolinas. She was not a well-to-do lady. She didn't even have an automobile. And she wanted to come and take the little baby home with her. So she came to Pensacola. A friend drove her down. The staff at the hospital had gathered a bunch of stuff for a big old baby shower. And here was this little grandmother now holding this little baby. And all these blankets and diapers and you name it, all around her. And so much they probably had to ship some of it by UPS or something back to her home, because she probably couldn't carry it all back. But she was well stocked. And yet, here was the value of life, even in a bad situation. This lady had given birth, and now she was still in our hospital for a few more months. She never could really regain consciousness and was kind of really not able to control her movements, and we weren't sure how much she understood. Eventually, we were able to move her to near where her mother is in a nursing home. And to this day, of course, I don't know the outcome. And hopefully, maybe the brain could reroute a little bit for her to have some type of life. But those are hard decisions. Those are hard situations. And sometimes we wonder why we allow people to continue on in those situations. But each person is of value to God. And sometimes we don't always understand. And I know I've helped with a lot of end-of-life situations. And those are difficult as well. And all I want to say this morning is to, if you ever come to the place where you're in intensive care with your loved one and there's no hope for them to recover and you need to withdraw support from that patient, don't feel guilty about what you need to do for your loved one, because what's happened to your loved one many times has happened and you can't change it. Only you can do is do the right thing at the right time. So don't feel guilty. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say here, is that it's always with prayer and with direction from God and feeling that comfortable about the situation. But it comes a time when we all pass from this life to go be with the Lord. But today we have such great technology that we can keep a person's body alive whether they're really there or not. And sometimes it's hard to understand where your loved one is and try to make that right decision. But do what is right for your loved one out of love and respect for them. And I want to appeal to any woman that might be listening this morning by the internet, or any one woman here that has been through an abortion. I had a young lady in one of my churches that had two abortions in her college years. And she was feeling bad and ashamed about that. And she wanted to tell the church and ask for forgiveness. She bravely came to the pulpit one Sunday during like a Sunday like today. And she retold her story about how she was running from God in those teenage years. She had gotten pregnant a couple of times and had abortions. She's never has forgiven herself and always remembered those children and wondered what they would have been like today in her life if she allowed them to live. And so by sharing her story, she was able to reveal the dark secret in her life She was able to ask the Lord to forgive her and ask the church family to forgive her. And after she got done with her testimony, I had her come down in front and I asked the people to come down and pray over her and encourage her. And it was challenging for a lot of the folks in the sanctuary, I imagine. Because here was a young girl that grew up in their church that has strayed like this, and they thought she would, you know, someone would never have that happen. But I want to let young ladies know, or anyone, lady, or even a lot, like you mentioned, the men also feel bad about these situations, that God loves you, that He cares for you, and He wants you to ask for forgiveness and ask for His help in restoring you to fellowship with Him and finding that peace and that comfort that only He can give you, so that you can go out in life and live it to the full and serve the Lord and not hide in the shadows of guilt and blame. He loves you, and He loves all of us. And He knows we all fail. We all fall short of God's glory. And that's why we all need the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. And if you don't have the Lord in your life, we'll give you a chance today to accept Him into your life. But thirdly, human life is sacred because it is a stewardship from God. In verses 6 through 8, He outlines the same thing was in Genesis, that He gives us dominion over the animals of this world. And it's not that we are managers, but we're stewards of what He's given us to do. So God has given us a responsibility. We are held accountable by God for our choices in regard to lives and for others. He's going to hold our world and each one of us responsible for how we treat other people in this world and what we do in life. And we need to surrender to His will, like what we saw in Esther's life. She had to come to the point where she had to say, not my will, but God's will be done in my life. And allow God to use her to change history and to save thousands of lives. And maybe God is calling you today and helping you to realize that we need to stop focusing so much on what we want and what our desires are and start looking outward and ministering to people. There are many people in our world today that need our message. There's so much violence and crime and loss of human life, or rights and sexual sins and abortion and homosexuality and euthanasia. It is the loss of sacredness of human life and accountability to God. Every human being is a special work of God, a special one-of-a-kind work of God, and has a stewardship from God. The only hope for humanity is to restore the sanctity and the dignity of human life. How do we do that? We make Jesus the Savior and Lord of our life. And once you make that commitment, the Lord will give you the different outlook on life that He has created you and has created all of human life. And we ought to love one another and respect one another. And so what are we to do as Christians? And like I was just talking about, we need to go proclaim His word. There are hungry people out there in our world today. They do not feel loved. They do not feel significant. They are burdened with sin and guilt. And we have the answer. We have the message to set them free and to help them to find peace with God and to live life for Him and bless others as God works through them. The only way our society will gain respect of others is by changing hearts through Jesus Christ. Well, I hope that as you are here today, that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you do not, I want to give you an opportunity to pray to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So if you'll bow your head with me this morning, I want to pray for you. And if there's anyone here that needs to pray a prayer of repentance, something in your life that you've been wanting to bring before the Lord and ask Him to forgive you and restore your fellowship and fellowship with Him, just do that right now. And someone here that might need to pray to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and receive that forgiveness. And all you have to do is pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Thank you for forgiving me, and come live within my life and save me right now. Thank you for saving me, and help me to live for you each day of my life. And may you fill me with your joy and peace and happiness, and call me to a ministry that you have called me to, and help me to fulfill it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. May we cherish life and cherish one another, respect one another, realize that each of us are made in God's image. We are special. We are loved. We are cared for. We are to minister to one another and help one another through this life and minister to those that need ministering to. Help us to fulfill that call upon each of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.